With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, what's happening? What's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney coming to you from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who understands it's not just a mortgage. It is your mortgage. That's the difference. A Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage on this football. I don't have much of a voice. I mean, I've been talking all week. So that's all you get. Football Friday. I got to tell you. This is insane with the Dallas Cowboys. It's insane. It really is. Tiki is off today. Hope everybody had a good Thursday night and a good start to the weekend so far Friday. Tiki is actually traveling. He's doing the Bengals and the Browns game. Tiki's in the CBS booth, so that's awesome. That's a great look for my guy. Tiki's had a huge week. I mean, if you're real, Tiki has had a huge week. He broke the biggest story in New York sports in decades, and now he's got a chance to jump into the CBS booth. Good for my man. He's been doing a lot of college games. He's done a few Fox games, but he will be there on Sunday for CBS. You know, listen, this is, I mean, I tell you, been doing this for a little bit here, sports, and I've never heard the same person ask the same question repeatedly with the same answer, or at least no change in results, or, wow, I'm just so tired of watching the Cowboys. You know, and it's so amazing, too, the script that they follow. They come, it's the same game. I mean, you list Troy Aikman is becoming, you know, I think Troy's good, for sure. I've always thought Troy's good on the air. I think he and Buck are a good tandem. I would never say that I thought, well, maybe there were points. I was going to say I never thought that Troy was necessarily, must listen to or must watch close. But he's become that. I mean, now he's just eviscerating. He's really just going in on Jason Garrett. How could you blame him? The Dallas Cowboys are disgraceful. They really are. There's so many problems. I just got to play some of the sound. This is some of the craziest, some of the funniest, some of the everything that you've ever heard. Now, let's go through the sequence. First of all, because we got a couple of different Jerry Joneses here in the last couple of, last 24 hours. The despondent Jerry, the tough chin Jerry will find a way to plow through. The combative Jerry, the uncensored Jerry. I mean, Jerry was just flat out dissing. All right, so Jerry Jones, this was last night on yet another loss.
It's losing, losing, losing. So I'm not trying to be funny here, but the point is that we've got to win a football game. I don't care what the standings are, what the numbers are. We had thought that we could come up here and play a fine football game and get our act where we're starting to look like a team that could, if we buy a slim chance, get in the playoffs where we could win. We can't do that until we play and start winning the football games.
Okay, so that was last night. That's a pretty fair take. I mean, still holding on to hope because, let's face it, the Eagles are behind you. And you have a chance. You know, so if you're Jerry, you almost have to latch on to that notion. Hey, if we get in, we can get hot. Why not? Okay. Get a look at the standings. I mean, this thing is disgraceful. I mean, Dallas is 6-7. The Eagles are 5-7. All right, so then we get combative, surly. I like this, Jerry. I mean, you don't really hear this too often. This is Jerry. Now, keep in mind, the guy's probably been up all night. He flew back from Chicago. Why he gets up, hey, this is on 105.3 The Fan. You know, and really, I don't understand why anybody with that kind of money, although with him, I think it's a little different. He wants to control the narrative, and, you know, he enjoys being the center of attention. So he does it because it enables him to continue being Jerry Jones. So I guess I answer my own question. But they lose a game. They start out, boom, same script, touchdown, long drive, just like I said yesterday here on Tiki and Tierney, whatever, 8-9 minutes encompassing, 12-13 plays, punch it in, which they did. They even get a pick. They get an interception, which, by the way, I mean, you almost forget that this happened because the second half was such a disaster. That interception at the pylon, which was one of the few
horrific. I mean, it was a horrific decision by Trubisky. One of the few things he didn't do well. How could you miss that play? It's right in front of you as a referee. What are you looking at? You're looking at his feet. Come on. It was a clear catch and a toe tap. You got to review it and waste time. So they come out, and they're playing well. Hey, what? This is what happened against the Bills on Thanksgiving. Boom. First score. Touchdown. It's what happened the previous game as well. And then the wheels come off. And now Jerry's watching this. He's in the box last night. He gets on his private jet. He flies back to the Fort Worth area last night, greater Fort Worth, Dallas area. He wakes up, probably sucks down a cup of coffee, a couple of vitamins, maybe gets on the Stairmaster, whatever he does. Peloton. That's in the news these days. You can't even have a commercial anymore. Did you see that? Do you guys see the problem with that Peloton commercial? What is so wrong about that? Am I missing something? The guy inspired his wife to get in great shape, and it's a bad thing? What am I missing there? I'm serious. Am I missing something? The guy bought his wife a Peloton for Christmas. She really embraced it.
There's a lot of different issues that people are having.
Was it fat shaming? Is that the core of it?
No, it started out that, like, here's a woman who's already in very good shape. She's a beautiful woman who's obviously in shape already. And
yeah.
So it's an idea of kind of body shaming, not fat shaming, but body shaming. Like, if this woman isn't good enough, then who is? And
yeah, that's
and then there's other aspects
to it,
like the fact that it's like a wealthy upper class family. What they're saying is that other people can't afford it. There's a variety of things that people are complaining about.
I mean, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. That's so stupid. So Jerry's on his Peloton, whatever Jerry's doing today. Then Jerry picks up the phone, and this ensues. Listen to this. This is one of the best sound bites I've ever heard in 20 years doing radio. Just play this three times in a row. I want to hear this for a minute and a half straight. Just play this, then play it again, then play it again.
Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together, yourself. Okay. Now I'm we're gonna have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
Settle down.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan,
we've
Jerry,
got a lot to go over. Now, go on with your question, but
Settle down now,
I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning. And I don't like your attitude to come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Hey, are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together, yourself. Okay. Now, we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
As a Cowboys fan,
we've
Jerry,
got a lot to go over. Now, go on with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning. And I don't like your attitude. Come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Hey, are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together, yourself. Okay. We're going
to
have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
As a Cowboys fan,
we've
Jerry,
got a lot to go over. Now, go on with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning. And I don't like your attitude. Come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Oh man! Oh my God! I don't have the patience to jack with you today. Now hurry up, man! I don't have the patience to jack with you today. I mean, that's just gold. That is hysterical. Oh, my God. I got to hear it once more, man. Once more.
Hey, are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together, yourself. Okay? Now, we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
What?
As a Cowboys fan,
we've
Jerry.
Got a lot to go over. Now, go on with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning. And I don't like your attitude. You come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
Oh, jeez. I swear to God, I haven't laughed this hard in a long time, and I like to laugh. Oh, my God almighty. Everything about that is absolutely unreal. That little noise banging in, it's probably his son. It's probably hey, we got Urban on the other line. You want to get Urban? Should we patch in Urban or should we patch in Matt Rhule? What do you want, Dad?
Settle down just a little bit. I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I can't stop. I don't know if I can do the segment here. Tiki's not even here to talk and help me.
Settle down, nice a little bit, boy. Get a little bit cantankerous around here. All right, let me hold on. Let me just speak for a moment here. Oh God, wow. All right, here's the problem with the Cowboys. don't put any more of those sound drops in, because honestly, I won't be able to finish the segment. They cannot score a point in the third quarter. Like, they can't do it. And it really started, go back to week 10, right? So the Vikings, they lose that game. They score 24 total points, 10 in the second half. They beat the Lions. They win. They score 35 total points. They score 11 in the second half. Then they lose to the Pats. They scored 9 total, and they scored 3 in the second half. None in the third quarter, you know, when adjustments are generally made. Then they play the Bills. They scored 15 total points. None in the third quarter, 8 in the second half. Largely garbage time. Then last night with the Bears, as we were once again treated as a nation, to watch a team what they have accomplished compared to what we actually, the amount of time we spend on them, might be the most imbalanced equation in the history of sport. So then last night, 24 total points. Oh, my God, I still have tears in my eyes. And they scored none in the third quarter, 17 in the second half, largely garbage points. I mean, you know, the part of me, I just want this to keep going, because I can't wait to hear the next spot with Jerry Jones. But here's what I don't get. So he's always on with Sean and RJ, my buddy RJ Choppy, who I've known for a long time. I don't know Sean, but RJ's great. Now, I know they have a good show. Who was that he was on with? I don't know who that is. And what happened? Did he decide not to go on with RJ and Sean? I don't know, because he's been with them for years.
He's usually on with them on Tuesdays, I believe, after the week is over. So he may have already actually been on with them.
Gotcha.
And actually, I do believe that he was on with them this week.
Okay, but because they played on
the
Thursday
game, they just had him on a Friday.
Gotcha. Wow. And, you know, what's really buried in this game here is that Mitch Trubisky is showing signs. Mitch Trubisky and Matt Nagy are they're showing signs. Wow. That was pitiful. It really was pitiful. And they're so stale and they're so predictable, and we waste so much energy on them. I don't think I want to spend any more time on them today. I really don't. I don't think what do I need to say? What else needs to be said? They can't score a point in the third quarter for a month straight. 1 month straight. They haven't scored a single point in the third quarter. When you make adjustments, all the other coaches, right? And listen, a lot of these deficiencies were masked early in the year, because I went through each game, starting with the Giants game where they scored 35 points and they won, into the Skins game, into the Miami game, into the Saints game when Teddy Bridgewater played and they only scored 10 points, they lost 12-10, into the Packers game, the Jets game, which I was actually at. Every single game, right? The first 3 weeks for sure masked real deficiencies, because they scored points in the second half, because the Giants were pitiful. At that point, I know the Skins have shown a little gumption since, but the Skins were, I mean, they were in a canoe without anything remotely resembling an oar, and Miami was trying to lose, or at least at that stage, they looked as if they really were trying. Even though that game was somewhat competitive in the first half, I think it was 10-6, and Dallas scored 28 or so points in the second half. So we didn't really fixate on what their problems were. Listen, we could spend all day, and I spent a lot of time on the defense yesterday. I understand Dak's going to get paid. I understand Jason Garrett. Okay, Zeke, when are you going to use him properly? The defense doesn't make splash plays. If you can't score in the third quarter, you can't win. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. It's the most basic component. Generally, you want to start well, and generally, once the tone of the game is established, you go into this thing called a locker room. You look at your thing. Now it's called the tablet. It used to be a chalkboard. You look at it. You hit a few buttons. You make a few adjustments. You come out, and you score a single point. They can't even do that. But I want the circus to, you know what, I got once more. Play this once more, and then I don't know what's going to happen after that. I can't even tell you, but just play it.
Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together, yourself. Okay? Now, we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, Jerry.
We've got a lot to go over. Now, go on with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning, and I don't like your attitude.
Yes, Stephen.
I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I mean, he's such a likable guy, too, because you know he wants to win. And you know that Jerry's just a red-blooded American guy, man. Jerry's got a lot of very endearing qualities. He truly does. But the irony here is one of his best qualities, his loyalty, his allegiance to a friend has destroyed their season. Jason Garrett is terrible. It's terrible. I mean, the clapper. It's all he does well. Well, you got it. Go. And he throws the red flag pretty well. There's this new advanced stat. They're tracking the, you know, like 22, 23 miles per hour. I read yesterday that Jason Garrett leads the NFL in velocity for red hanky tossed. I mean, he actually gets it up to about 7 or 8 miles per hour. It's what he does well. He claps and he throws the red flag well. That's it. That's literally it. There's nothing else well. He's the most uninspiring coach I've ever seen. He's so boring. And you know what? And his team has now taken on his personality. They have. All right. 1-855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. Tiki's traveling, as I said before. He's doing a CBS game this week, which is awesome. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this circus, but I give you a chance to chime in. But we're getting to the Ravens and the Bills. We're getting to the Niners and the Saints. We're getting to the Chiefs and the Pats. We're getting to all this. Tiki and Tierney, Football Friday, CBS Sports Radio. All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Guy. As I'm trying to say this, right, the TV to my immediate right, and I have good peripheral vision, there's just this huge picture of Jerry's head. So I was actually not laughing as I was coming back into break, and I looked up and I see his head. All right, our toll-free line is 1-855-212-4CBS, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money, switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. On this Football Friday, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Some of these tweets have me laughing a little bit. At Indy Far East tweeted here at Tiki and Tierney. When he said, now we're going to have a good visit this morning, it sounds like he's visiting his troubled son in prison. Tweeter H. McDuck, at Oregon Born Duck, that's his handle, tweeted, Jerry Jones sounding like a southern grandpa who's got yard work for you to do on a Saturday morning. Oh, my God. Oh, settle down now, Jerry. Settle down. You know what's crazy, too? You know, and I was working on this. I mentioned this to Tiki yesterday. I'm working on something for Tops, and I'll expand on it on Sunday. But for the radio audience, you know, I mean, Amari Cooper, and this is probably an unlikely direction to go. But big picture, because this season is not salvageable in the sense of what we thought they might be able to accomplish after the good start, after a very talented roster, after all the expectations, after the division being so obviously lackluster out of the chute. I got to tell you, you know, if I'm them, there's no chance I would re-sign Amari Cooper. How do you justify? Find me a team, Mike, and I would love to, as I'm looking through this, or as I'm saying this, look through the standings, all right? Try to find an NFL team. Find me an NFL team that has a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl this season. D-Cell, put your head together on this as well. And identify a team that's got one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL, one of the highest paid running backs in the NFL, and also simultaneously one of the highest paid wide receivers in the NFL. Can somebody find me that team? Because once Dak Prescott gets paid, he will be, you know, just based on the circumstances, then somebody will pass him, obviously. He'll be amongst the top, you know, 2, 3, 4 highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL. We know where Zeke resides in the financial stratosphere. You would imagine that Amari Cooper's going to get $16, $18, $20 million roughly. I know there's a few guys in front of him. Beckham's making big money. Jones got paid for Atlanta, obviously. But it's just not a very – I was going to say it's not a good. I don't think it's a very
I don't think it's tenable. I don't know how you could possibly do it because they paid people on the offensive line. So who am I missing here? I mean, the good teams, Brady's always taking a little bit of a hit. They don't have a highly paid wide receiver, a hit in terms of team friendly. And their running backs has always been by committee. They're a different entity. So put the Pats aside. All right, Mahomes is getting money, obviously. Where's the running back getting a lot of money? There is none. Where's the receiver getting a ton of money? There is none. I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo's on a decent deal for the 49ers. They don't have any big-time wide receivers. Kittle's a tight end, and they go kind of running backs by committee. Russell Wilson's getting paid. They went running backs by committee by the most part. They drafted DJ Metcalf, and he's a rookie on a rookie deal. You have Baldwin, who's making decent money, but he's nowhere near top five. You know, I'm just about the Vikings. Our Kirk Cousins making good money. What's Dalvin Cook's exact contract? I know Diggs got paid. Thielen's making okay money. Not great. Not great money. I wouldn't even put them in the model of the Cowboys, what they would become if they foolishly pay Amari Cooper. I mean, think about that. If they had, like, young safeties, like if they had have drafted Jamal Adams, I know they tried to trade for him. If they had a young corner or two that didn't, they got Jones, who they're not going to be able to afford anyway. But, you know, the Saints, all right, I look up on TV, I see Michael Thomas right now. Obviously, Drew Brees is getting paid. Michael Thomas is getting paid. And Kamara is getting relatively paid for sure. But of all the teams that have a chance to win the championship, and I'm just looking at the standings now, I'm just kind of banging through it. Let's see. Who I truly deem championship. Lamar Jackson's on his rookie deal. Ingram's getting decent money. No receivers getting big-time money there for the Baltimore Ravens. I don't believe the Texans are a championship team anyway, but if you think that they are, all right, Deshaun Watson is on his rookie deal. Running back Lamar Miller got hurt in the preseason. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins is a beast and he gets paid accordingly, but that's only two-thirds of the equation. The Falcons stink. The Panthers, Cam's going to be gone anyway, so it doesn't matter. McCaffrey's on his rookie deal. Let's see. The Chiefs, the Chargers, the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Rams. I don't think they're a championship contender, and they're a lot like the Cowboys in this regard if you think about it, because they paid Goff, they paid Gurley. All right, so eventually Prescott will be paid like Goff. Gurley paid similar, although Zeke is making more. And they don't have that one monster wide receiver contract, although Cooks is getting good money, really good money. And they've got a lot of holes to fill, and they won't have the ability to do it because they're not going to be able to disperse the funds elsewhere. This is a big problem. How do people not see this? Like, nobody talks about this. It's always, and I get it, the low-hanging fruit. Jason Garrett, you know. Jerry Jones, the quarterback. I hear you. Now get to the important stuff. You know, where's the splash plays on defense? Where's the blindside sack? Where's the fumble inside the opponent's 12-yard line? The next play, touchdown. Where's the pick six? Where's the block punt on a special team or a block field goal taking 80 yards the other way? I don't know. I see all the other good teams do it every week. I watch every game like you do on the red zone. Every single play, see it every touchdown I've seen this year. I can honestly say that, not in real time, but over the course of the day on the red zone, and they do them all at the end when they encapsulate the day, I have seen every single touchdown scored this year in the NFL. Everyone. And the Cowboys, well, they have five picks on the year. They went into last night with four, and they had one last night. Excuse me. So that's really a bigger piece of their problem than people want to make it out to be. I understand what seems interesting, what seems more topical. And on a lot of levels, it is. I get it. The head coach, the quarterback, the owner dynamic. I get it. And sometimes the low-hanging fruit truly is the story, as I told Tiki yesterday. But I think if you get a little bit into the weeds of the Cowboys, that's a decision. And here's the other thing that makes it more difficult to walk away from Cooper. They traded to get him. And they gave up good draft equity to get him. So you gave up premium picks, then you let him walk. So they're almost stuck. But if I'm running the Cowboys, I don't know that there's an easy fix, although you certainly have to get a new coach, and they clearly will. But if I'm running football operations, and it's not Jerry and it's not Steven, Cooper walks. I'm not paying him. Maybe I do re-engage the Jets and really try to get Jamal Adams. Really. You know? All right. 1-855-212-4. You know, let me just get, before we end up on the Cowboys, one more giggle out of Jerry here from this morning on 105.3 The Fan. We'll get this. Go ahead. Let me just jumps right into it. Get your damn act together yourself. Settle down now. And you got to take them. Yes, Steven. The poor guy's probably, you know, he threw down three scotches on the plane back. He's like, boom, one, boom, two. In between calls, between Rule and Urban Meyer, maybe Peterson as well. A scotch for each of them. Oh, and then a scotch for the morning show. What a circus. God, thank you. That was a good laugh. Woof. Hearty laugh. Courtesy them boys. Them Dallas Cowboys. All right, Greg Caserta's got the update. Coming up after that, do a little inbounds, out of bounds. We start bouncing around all the pertinent matchups, the marquee matchups. You know who it is, the Pats and the Chiefs, the Ravens and the Bills. I really want to see what the Bills, you know, this is a great, Bills fans, you never talk enough about the Bills. You know what? And in some regard, you're right. So I purposely carved out a good couple of minutes to really specifically talk about this game. It's such a test for Josh Allen. I can't wait. He's protected the ball. He's growing leaps and bounds. We know he can beat you with his wheels. Man, he's making real smart, savvy, veteran-like decisions. That place is going to be on fire. Bills Mafia, good God. The place, if they win, they might take a match to the plate. They're going to be out of their minds on Sunday. And here comes Lamar, the one-man wrecking crew. So we'll get to that as well. Tiki and Tierney, inbounds, out of bounds. Next, Greg Caserta's update is right now. He's Greg. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Time to ask the pros, give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's the deal. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. Twitter handle at CBS Sports Radio, hashtag AskThePros. Stick around, listen later on. I'll answer the best one. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. Coming up in a bit, I'll tell you why Josh Allen. Josh, I got you today, Bills fans. Like I said before, I will tell you why Josh Allen is the most improved player in the NFL. And it's not really close. I certainly don't think it's contestable. Like, I think it's even I think it's a challenge to find somebody a close second. Like, I think that's how much he's grown. So, we'll do that in a little bit. Matt Judon from the Ravens. So, we got that angle covered as well. Matt's going to join me in hour number two. Obviously, we'll get deeply into the Chiefs and the Pats and the Bills and the Ravens. 49ers Saints on Sunday. Mike Anderson, head coach of St. John's, first year. And they're playing at the first Garden game tomorrow. I always look forward to that. That'll be fun to be there. Against a pretty good West Virginia team who is 7-0. So, the Mountaineers are 7-0. We'll talk with Mike at the start of the 5 Eastern hour, 6-pack of picks. And, yep, oh, you know what time it is. They're here. The sharp shades are ready to roll. All right, inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, so Stanford's going to deliver it. Mike, what do you got, buddy? Kick it off.
So the Cleveland Browns are 5-7 and sit 10th in the AFC, despite some high expectations before the season. Now their star offseason acquisition, Odell Beckham Jr., seems to be hedging whether or not he'll stay in Cleveland long term.
I couldn't sit here and tell you whether I'm going to be here, want to be here, don't want to be here. This is exactly where I'm at now. And I wouldn't rather be anywhere else, you know. So it's something that, like I said, God has a plan. And in the offseason, everything will figure itself out.
Not exactly a ringing endorsement, but OBJ later clarified his comments on Twitter saying, quote, "I never said I was not happy in Cleveland. Just like everyone else, I'm hopeful for better results. Period. Next story, please." Now, Beckham has 4 years and $60 million left on his deal. However, only $2.5 million of that is guaranteed because he got paid most of his guarantee up front.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the Browns can cut him after the season and pay very little or nothing out of their own pockets.
Yep.
So, in or out, OBJ will finish out his contract in Cleveland.
Out of bounds. Oh, there's no chance that's going to happen. I will defend Odell Beckham on a few levels. Number one, what he said was not really newsworthy. I mean, if you really listen to what he said, he didn't really say anything, certainly didn't say anything incredibly positive or reinforcing his desire to stay in Cleveland. I'll certainly grant you that, but he didn't say anything that really overtly suggested that he wants out. He said, "We'll take it. Well, I paraphrase, but take it one day at a time. We'll see what, you know, next year, tomorrow yields." He talked about God having a plan. So, You know, he has comported himself outside of the watch, which was ridiculous. And, it was early in the season. He didn't practice a lot during the summer. You know, OTAs didn't really link up with Baker at all to work on that chemistry. And I think that hurt them. I certainly know that it hurt them. I think that Beckham, I think he's matured. I do. I think that he's trying. I never thought, and, you know, Teague and I have talked about Odell so many years since day one with the Giants, obviously. You know, there's a couple of characters that can derail the team. There's the malicious character, which he's not. There's the selfish character, which I think a lot of people thought he was, maybe even including myself, but I actually think he's okay with being a bit of a secondary figure if they're winning. So I don't even think it's that. I just think that he takes up his presence, his brand, he just takes up so much of the oxygen in the room that when something goes awry, people expect him to go a certain way. And you know, because of the kicking net and some earlier indiscretions with the New York Giants. Really, since then, you know, he's been pretty much a model pro. I mean, you know, I don't know that you win big with him because for the reasons I just identified, but no, I don't think he finishes up his career with the Browns, and I think he's going to be one of these players, you know, that winds up having a real transient. You know, I'll give you an example, and he's back in the league now. Carmelo Anthony. You know, now, Carmelo just had that contract guaranteed for the rest of the year with Portland. He won Player of the Week. He's put up some good offensive nights, and I'm happy for Carmelo. But, you know, Carmelo, you know, bounced around, not really an attitude thing either, but a fit thing from a basketball, but a schematic thing. I don't know that there's too many, you know, too many things that are different aside from the sport they play. So, no, he's not going to finish up the Browns. No chance. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
This one's for you, BT. Your Knicks are struggling. Oh, losers geez. Of 8 straight games. The Knicks have the second worst record in the NBA and have lost their last two by an average of 40.5 points.
Disgraceful.
David Fizdale, after the game, didn't mince words in describing the team's efforts after last night's 129-92 loss to the Nuggets.
Sickening. And they'll have to rewatch it. Just like I'm going to watch it 3 or 4 times, they're going to have to suffer through it as well.
Now, breaking news here on Tiki and Tierney.
Mm.
The Knicks, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, have just fired David Fizdale.
Okay.
Firing has been rumored for weeks.
Yeah.
And it turned out that last night's game was the last straw. But David Fizdale and assistant Smart is out as well.
Oh, wow.
Keith Smart is
out.
Also out.
Okay.
So,
who's taking over? Did they say?
According to Woj, I don't see any of that information yet. We just see that Fizdale
gotcha.
And Keith Smart are out in New York.
Okay, so Fizdale fired by the Knicks. Keep going. This
Correct.
Changes a little bit of the tone of the question here a little bit.
It does, now that we know that Fizdale has officially just been fired,
yep.
Will the firing of Fizdale be the first step in the right direction for the Knicks?
Yes, but it's so much bigger than the head coach. This is an institutional thing. This is woven deeply into the DNA of one of the most pitiful, sad, empty, pathetic loser franchises of all time. That's the New York Knicks. They are abominable. And really, their only saving grace is their location. Like, if the Knicks, you know, I've referenced a few times, I used to work in Detroit, right? Now the Detroit Arena is downtown, okay? Back in the day when I lived there, to go to the Palace, you had to hop on I-75, go to the suburbs to go to the Palace of Auburn Hills, right? So that when they weren't good, and that kind of was before I got there, because when I got there, Rick Carlisle took over and they were good and people were going 20,000 a night. Big Ben, that team, the early stages before the team that won the championship. And the Knicks are so lucky that they have tourists. I'm beginning to think that people just aimlessly wander into that building, not even knowing what city they are in. And forget about what sport they're about to watch, because there's nobody in their right mind that would reach into their pocket with their hard-earned money to go and watch that crap, that diluted slop. The Knicks are an absolute disgrace. They've been a disgrace for 20 years. It doesn't matter who the hell they bring in. It really doesn't matter. Jeff Hornacek, didn't matter. Derek Fisher, didn't matter. David Fizdale, didn't matter. Doesn't matter. So it doesn't matter who takes over for David Fizdale until they get
New ownership. Tiki, can you please from the, did he land yet? Where did he land? Maybe when Tiki gets off the plane to go and do the game for CBS, Tiki could break another story that the Knicks have been sold 80% to an investor. You see, the difference with the Knicks and the Mets, it's not about the money. The Knicks spend like drunken sailors. That's never been an issue. Listen, David Fizdale is so disappointing in this sense. I thought he was going to bring a star with him. You know, David Fizdale had juice. LeBron, not that he was going to bring LeBron. Everybody's, oh, David's the man. Oh, this guy's connected. He's got hookup throughout the NBA. Who'd you bring? You brought Taj Gibson. You brought Marcus Morris. I've wasted enough time on the sick franchise, but they need to get Ujiri from Toronto. Get him here. Let him hire whomever he wants. And at that point, you can take a step in the right direction. Doesn't matter who coaches the team. The only thing that this, real quick, the only thing that this does change, possibly for the good for the Knicks, at least not to become good, but possibly for the good, is that the new coach will allocate and distribute roles and minutes differently. Kevin Knox has to play. I don't want to see the five power forwards playing 28 minutes a night. Get the young kids, give the ball when he's healthy to Frank Ntilikina. Find out for once, can he play or not? 32 minutes a night, sink or swim, get out or stay. Kevin Knox, 12 to 15 shots a night. You want to play defense? Do you have a heart? Do you have interest? Yes or no? If you do, you stay. If you don't, you go. We know Barrett. Barrett's a stud. The other guys who have just collected a check, get rid of them.
Are you in or are you out?
The defending World Series champion Nationals have some big decisions to make, most notably around ace Steven Strasburg and slugger Anthony Rendon. This week at the winter meetings, Nats owner Mark Lerner revealed the team's reality surrounding their two stars, telling NBC Sports Washington, quote, "We really can only afford to have one of those two guys. They're huge numbers. We already have a really large payroll to begin with," end quote. So in or out, since they can likely only keep one of those two guys, the Nats should keep Rendon over Strasburg.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one because there's so many similarities here. They're both about the same age. They're both a little brittle. You know, Rendon's missed a little, not this year, but he's missed a little time over the year. It's been banged up, you know, intermittently, you know, little nick here, little nick there. We know Strasburg's injury history from his early days and a couple of times after that. I would have to say, you know, for whatever reason, unless Strasburg takes on a bit of a Verlander career, but Verlander didn't have the surgery that he had. He had some core stomach issues. The shoulder and the elbows largely intact for Verlander. Strasburg, I really feel like every pitcher has a finite amount of bullets in his wing, but I really feel like there's probably more finite, if that makes sense, in Strasburg than some of the other pitchers his age and his stature and status. I'd go with Rendon. He's a hell of a fielder. He's a quiet leader. He's a champion. He's clutch. He was an absolute beast. I mean, Strasburg was clutch, too. He was a beast. He was Babe Ruth this past October. I really like them both. I would keep Rendon if I'm running the table. It's unfortunate that they're going to have to let one of them go, but I think it's going to be Rendon. It would be if I ran the Nats.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
You know, it's funny. I woke up and with the Fizdale news, what did I tweet this morning? Last night. When you have back-to-back games and you're trailing by 40-plus points in the NBA, I mean, you got to go. Something's got to change fast. And I thought it might be today. It actually came to fruition. I can't find the tweet now, but basically, you know, at one point I said, just give the keys to Mark Jackson, see if he can at least, you know, give the keys to a New York guy, see if he can't salvage this thing. But really, the problem is so much deeper than that. It's not the coach. Jeff Hornacek's a decent coach. Fizdale really didn't distinguish himself very well at all, so I can't even say I was disappointed with him. But yes, you need a great coach, but you got to find somebody who can find players.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.